Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetters. Scott Eklund had some personal business to take care of, so Jack McCauley, former intern, is stepping in with our new intern. We're breaking in the right way. Harlan Grady, hey, just first of all, Jack, any advice for the youngin' over here?
Don't take Kim's crap. No, I'm just kidding. Good ride. It's fun. Nothing too much. Nothing too crazy.
Maybe one of these days you're going to share your news.
It's what's the worst thing?
So interesting.
What's the worst thing I ever did to you, Jack?
You didn't do anything too terrible to me. I feel like my predecessor got most of it.
Luke?
Yeah.
He deserved it, though.
Yeah.
No, he didn't deserve it.
He got the crap. I got the Dick's runs. I got the late night Dick's runs.
That was fun. After basketball games, we'd run over to Dick's. Yeah. Big Josh. Big Josh is really into the late night Dick's runs after basketball games. Y'all have two deluxe, four fries.
That's a shake.
No, just
so who could eat more than Dick's run? Josh or Shane Palkoa?
Oh, Shane's, that's a different league there.
Okay, well. I just remember the stories of him coming to SeaTac and then hitting Dick's on the way back up to Lake Stevens and having like three double-doubles.
Oh, you'd order the board. Just
three deluxes and
three of everything. Those out. I can get those down. Come on
crazy.
Now.
Dude, crazy, crazy.
Anyways, you guys are crazy. But day 11, out of the shores of Lake Washington, but inside today in the Dempsey. The weather yesterday was spectacular, and today, not so much. One of those days where it's just, you know, a low rain cloud just kind of surrounding the city. So just that Seattle mist we're getting today. So practice was inside in the Dempsey. So they did some full contact stuff and still did a lot of installs. Not as boring as yesterday because we had a little bit more hitting. But I'm not, I thought Rasheed Williams probably, from what I was seeing, Rasheed Williams to me was the player of the day.
Well, he had a great practice, no doubt about it. I thought Jeremiah Hunter continued to impress. I think Denzel Boston's still showing why he's, receiver one for me. That group of Williams, Giles Jackson, and Denzel Boston's been hard to break into, but Jeremiah Hunter, I think, has done a nice job so far. But you're right, Kim. I mean, definitely not boring in the sense of with full pads, they were able to get after it a little bit more, able to get some tackling in, which obviously we didn't see yesterday at all. Didn't even do any tackling at all, mostly thud tempo stuff with shells and shorts. But when they put on the full pads today, they were actually able to get after a little bit. Some cool team periods, like they had one team period where it was like third downs, and they did third and fourth downs. Defense, I think, had some good stops there. Had a couple takeaways, Tristan Dunn with a pick, and then they had the team fumble at the end. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell exactly who pounced on at the end, but the whole defense.
It was the whole defense.
Yeah, the whole defense made that one.
And you could tell the whole defense today had a good energy day. I thought Ephesians Prysock was flying around, making plays all day.
It was Audric Harris who caught the pass and took a hit pretty good and fumbled the ball.
But I mean,
that's a welcome to college. That's a welcome to college hit right there.
Yeah. Prysock had a great day, not only in the team stuff, but in the drills beforehand. And the whole defense had a big energy day. The offense played really well, but every time the defense made a play, the whole unit was behind them. They're loud. They swarm to each other. So it's pretty cool to see that energy out there.
Prysock, to me, really had during the one-on-ones. Yeah. I mean, his length, 6'4". We were mentioning, he looks like his arms almost go down to his knees.
He looks like a basketball. He looks like a wing. I think that's the best way to describe
it. It's incredible, Chris, his length.
They go below his knees.
His length is incredible. And so he was able to just get just a touch on a couple passes. One was to Harris on the sideline that he was able to knock away. I think he had another one. It's been a while since Washington's had a corner with that kind of length. You go back to like Kevin King.
Keith Taylor.
Jordan. What was it? Jordan, who went to Atlanta.
Jordan Miller.
Jordan Miller, exactly. Thank you, Jack. So, Yeah, they've it's been a couple years since they've had a guy like that with that kind of length.
I don't even know if you can. He's longer than even those guys, I think, too, which is crazy to think about considering the guys that Jimmy Lake recruited with those long frames. And
yeah.
I mean, he looks all of 6'4". In that length.
Yeah, King and Taylor were really long corners.
King didn't have long levers. He had the long neck.
Well, he had everything. Yeah. He had long everything. I mean, yeah. He had the long arms. He had the long neck. He had the whole package as far as the length to be able to affect things going on in the passing game. But I'm telling you, Ephesians Prysock, so we talked to him a little bit yesterday. He goes by Efi, and really nice kid. Just kind of lets his pads do the talking. Didn't have much to say to us, but really nice kid. And expected a lot from him this year because I think right now, if you had to have a position group that's really kind of shown itself to have the talent necessary and probably won't have to necessarily go into the portal to really supplement what they need, it's probably the cornerbacks right now.
Yeah. Will Rogers is the first. He's a starting quarterback. Let's make no mistake about that. Yep. But Damon Williams continues to impress.
Yeah, it's interesting because I just was wondering because I was wondering where Marmar was today. I mean, Demarcus Davis, it's been a few practices since he's gotten reps, like team reps and stuff, and it's almost been solely Will Rogers, Damon Williams at this point. I mean, it's 1-2, and they're just repping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so I'm wondering if they're trying to get Demarcus Davis set up to really hit that scout team thing and just hit it with the ground running when it comes to fall camp, because obviously that looks like it's going to be his clear role starting in the fall.
Yeah, and you could tell in the team sets that Demont was making those athletic plays when he's rolling out and scrambling that Will Rogers doesn't quite have the ability to make. I mean, Will Rogers is going to earn the starting job, and rightfully so. I mean, he's been top tier in the SEC for a few years now, but there's definitely that athletic potential in Demont, and he's still super young. That you know you're going to have a special guy there if he chooses to stay with this team. Yeah. It's exciting to watch him in his infancy.
We haven't seen many interceptions this camp.
I haven't seen a ton. You know, Williams, again, you could tell Tristan Dunn undercut that route. He followed his eyes. Yeah. You could tell. Damon kind of telegraphed that a little bit. That's just something they'll go back in the tape. Jimmy Doherty will help clean that up. That's something you'd fully expect a freshman to do. But you kind of saw the best and worst of a guy like Damon Williams within a few plays because you had that happen. But then, like, I think the next series, when they were in kind of a thud tempo team period, he went around in a little bit of a scramble, but then he went straight up the field. And I think he went over 20 yards without even getting touched.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that explosiveness is going to be so fun to watch if you're a Washington fan. I mean, the spring game, I think – one of the real key things going into that game is I think a lot of fans are going, hey, we want to see Damon Williams run around a little bit because we've heard that this guy can be explosive.
And piggybacking off of that, too, he doesn't look like a freshman whatsoever. This is my first practice coming in, and obviously that bar was set so high of, you know what, you guys, everybody else is reporting about Damon, but that kid can spin it. And I honestly think if he's 6'2", he's a top 10 player in the entire class. He's that good. He can throw – like the way he throws the ball and makes his reads, it's just – he does not look like a freshman at all. You know, those back shoulder fade throw. It's just impressive what the kid can do.
But to clarify, just for the people that have not seen him in person – he's nowhere near 6'2".
No, he's all 5'9". He looks like Russell Wilson, kind of that. I think that kind of body type, where you know, shorter, a little bit stockier, but can fly around, make some athletic plays.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been fortunate in the last couple of years to see Michael Penix throw the ball, but when you take a look at what Damon Williams is doing, when we're talking spinning the ball, we're talking about throwing a tight spiral. But he throws just a tight spiral, and I would say, you know, his arm strength is going to be up there with Michael Penix because, you know, before this, you know, we had Jacob Eason who had a strong arm, but he didn't throw that tight spiral. Jake Browning definitely did not throw a tight spiral, nor did Dylan Morris. So, you know, we're going to maybe start to think that, you know, throwing the ball and spinning it like that's pretty much the norm around here.
Well, it's also kind of strange, too, because you've had 2 years of Michael Penix throwing the ball, and now all of a sudden it's nothing but right-handers again.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, okay, we got to go back to that. Because obviously catching the ball from a right-hander is a little different than catching the ball from a left-hander. There are some subtle nuances there that I'm sure that the receivers that were here last year are probably having to readjust to it just a little bit. But I'll tell you what, as far as the offense goes, there's no question the receiver group is by far the most talented group out of that total. In terms of the guys that are healthy and available to play, like the running backs, I think, you know, you still have Sam Adams and Cam Davis that are kind of hit and miss sometimes. Like, they're out doing conditioning. If they're not doing individual work, they really aren't being used in the team periods right now as of yet. Maybe next week that changes. But as far as guys that are available and guys that have been consistent and guys that have been playing on the offense, there's no doubt the receiver group has been really, really strong.
And in addition, they've got a guy on campus, you know, visiting, you know, out of the portal. Is it Elijah Badger?
Yeah, Arizona State.
Yeah, I mean, if he commits to Washington, he's receiver number one. He's that good. He's that good.
You've got some legit candidates between him and obviously Boston. I think Jeremiah Hunter continues to come up. You've got three guys from legitimately three
you
different schools.
You have four or five guys. It's the drop off if you get Elijah Badger from last year to this year is a minimal step, which is crazy to say. But these receivers have looked that impressive, and this is going to be a good group.
Yeah, and if Giles Jackson hadn't been hurt and hadn't deliberately kind of once the die was cast for him and he went to redshirt specifically to come back, you know, you really – okay, Elijah Badger, best receiver at Arizona State. Jeremiah Hunter, best receiver at Cal. Now, arguably, you could say Denzel Boston's the best returning receiver for Washington. This receiving core is starting to get sneaky good, and it's just a matter of time, too, because I think they continue to improve on a daily basis. And even the true freshmen, guys like Audrey Karras, even Jason Robinson, I mean, he made a couple plays out there. Like, there was one where he absolutely sold out to try to catch a ball that he had no business trying to catch, and he almost made it. And so these guys are playing hard.
And Keith Reynolds.
And Keith Reynolds is – he looks bigger this year, even though, obviously he's not taller. But he looks thicker. He looks more developed. He looks like a guy who's had a year in the weight room. And so I think that's impressive too.
Yeah.
We had a chance – you were talking about the running backs. They're a bit shallow. We had a chance to talk with Scotty Graham, running backs coach, as well as Cam Davis. And
– I talked to Jonah
Kim Coleman. Got to talk to Jonah Coleman.
Yeah, so
– and it was great to hear from them. Scotty Graham, great guy and great coach. He was definitely – you know, he's trying to – he's trying to light a fire underneath these guys. He's trying to get them where they need to be. And, you know, his room's a bit shallow, but if you ask him about that, he was not interested in talking about shallow. He said they've got a great group of guys. He says they have exactly who they want to have. Super high on everybody, but he loves Jonah Coleman. He loves Cam Davis. Cam Davis had a few notes about he was asked about returning to Washington. It's going to be his fourth head coach. He's coming back yet again. It's fantastic. He said, you know, Washington's my home. They gave me a home. They gave me a place to be. Like, I grow here. You know, I love Washington. I'm loyal to Washington. That was great to hear.
Yeah.
You had a Scotty Graham observation before practice.
What, with the headband? Well, I think it was.
He said he had Watts out in the football field.
Yeah, no, Harlan was one. He was asked, who's the guy with the headband out there? I was like, yeah,
didn't he send guys out? I thought you said he sent guys out. Send guys out and had their jerseys rolled up.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No, but we did get, I mean, from the people down in Arizona that dealt with Scotty Graham and dealt with the other assistants, they said he was one of their favorites. I mean, he's one of the guys that they really enjoyed talking to quite a bit. So I'm not surprised that Scotty Graham was a guy
that's why Jonah Coleman came up here. It's Scotty Graham. You know, and even, I mean, and Jonah talked about how difficult it was making that decision. You know, adults just think these kids just make these decisions, but he's really, really super, super, super tight. And, you know, with Scotty Graham, it's, you know, and that's his mentor. You know, if Scotty's going, he's going. And he said it was really tough, you know, because, you know, the decision to enter the portal, he said, you know, it's just, you know, it's tough to talk to his mom and dad. And, you know, and he can't talk to coach. He couldn't talk to Scotty Graham. So he had to kind of take a leap of faith and enter the portal and hope Scotty wanted him. Right?
It's the exact same conversation that we had with Aifi, with Bryce Hawk yesterday and John Richardson. He said, we said flat out, he said, was it just as simple as saying, I'm going wherever John Richardson goes? He goes, basically, yeah. He goes, that's the guy that recruited me. That's the guy I wanted to play for. So it's like when he decided he was coming to Washington, I was coming to Washington. If they wanted me, that's where I was coming.
Another guy that I thought, kind of speaking into the running back room, that came with Washington that I don't think many people are taking is Adam Muhammad. That guy is the freshman class as a whole.
You haven't seen him before today.
Well, I haven't seen anybody.
Coach Graham was just fawning over him in the interview as well. I mean, he just had nothing but love to share from him. And he said I think he said once he got – what weight did he say? 220, 230 maybe? He said lunch money. You know what that means? give me your lunch money.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
That's pretty funny.
I'll say from day one, day two, Adam Muhammad was one of the true freshmen that really stood out for me. It was like Muhammad. It was like the receivers, the freshman receivers. It was also like Peyton Waters is a guy that's been standing out for me as a true mm-hmm. freshman. There are a number of guys. Kamori House is another guy that I think has been standing out the last few practices. So, yeah, there's definitely some of these true freshmen
but
that are
standing
Muhammad, out.
But with Muhammad, what's crazy to me is this kid only had four offers out of high school, and none of them – it's like Arizona, then you go to some FCS schools. It's beyond me that more schools in the area, Mountain West schools, even like a Stanford or Cal didn't reach out to him because he's got the size, he's explosive, and like Damon Williams, like, all right, you can understand why he was under-recruited. You know, he's 5'9", you know, can you worry about getting it over the offensive line, throwing it, whatnot. But Adam Muhammad, I do not know how – this kid is going to be so – he's going to push for time this year, I think, for sure.
Yeah. He's one of those guys where you don't know who he is, and you look and go, who's that?
Yeah, off the he's an off-the-bus guy, as yeah. Scott would say. He's a first-off-the-bus kind of guy.
Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, because the bottom line is because guys like Sam Adams and CD aren't available all the time, the three running backs that Scotty Graham has really been leaning on have been Jonah Coleman and Daniel Ngata and then Adam Muhammad. And the bottom line is if that continues to roll and that continues to be the way that it is, because we do think that there's a very good chance that Washington does get a running back from the portal, another one. Just not exactly sure when that's going to happen. But bottom line is he's done everything that Scotty Graham would have asked him to do to get himself ready for the fall. And Harlan's right. I mean, you get that kid up about another 10, 15 pounds at least, and now all of a sudden he turns into the kind of guy that is NFL ready from the jump.
Well, it's kind of amusing with Harlan because when you take a look at Damon Williams and, you know, Adam Muhammad, they're the same age. They should be in high school like Harlan is. Yeah. Harlan's still
That's
in high school.
Wild.
Could you see they're the same class as you, Harlan.
It's ridiculous.
And you're still in school, and it's they're ridiculous. Out there practicing.
I went to pre-calculus this morning. You know what they did? They woke up, went to football practice for the University of Washington.
I'm pretty sure they may have gone to a class, too. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they got class going on, too. So maybe not pre-calc, but
well, yeah, I mean, when you say he's going to push for playing time, Adam Muhammad, Coach Graham was saying, you know, Jonah Coleman played in his first game as a true freshman against Washington, graded out in a 96. And, you know, this is a staff that's not scared of playing true freshmen. And if anybody's given themselves a chance, you know, with Cam Davis down perhaps longer than opening day, Adam Muhammad has a really good shot to get some reps in.
And it's just if I know. Calculus was my best subject in school.
Sure it was.
What'd you get, a B minus?
C plus?
Sure it was. Sure was. I believe you, Kim.
Yeah.
I thought Cam Davis looked pretty good today, too. Just like I was a little worried of explosion after an injury like that. Had a couple of nice catches. Looked good running the ball. His cuts were fine, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a guy who I think a lot of Husky fans just forget about because, you know, four staffs. He's been here for so long. But
I think it was just nice to see some guys get a little bit of contact and go down to the ground a little
Certainly.
Bit. And even though some of it was situational – and there's never enough from the outside going in that you want to see more guys and more reps for guys, you know, being tackled and making plays like that. You know, there was enough today to really put some good stuff down on film, and I'm sure they'll definitely have plenty to work on.
They even had that mini Jumbotron thing kind of going up where they would
– Someone's going to have to explain to me why that's there.
But it was like a replay monitor, so they would – you were able to go back and like look at the replay from a previous
the guys
player.
Look at that after the play.
So it was it was almost like,
on
a TV delay.
Yeah.
So it's like if somebody had, you know, offensive lineman missed a block or they'd pull them off and they'd just say, you know,
interesting.
Points at it, coaches would point at it.
That's about a 10-15 second delay, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's like a 10-15 second delay.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, and I could even tell during the install periods, you know, they had the coordinators and stuff working on the plays, but you could even see, like, Jed Fish working on the comms. I mean, so they've got the entire staff. Trying to dial this stuff in with the communications and all the stuff that's going on with the helmets that they're going to have to rely on in the fall. It should be really interesting to see how that works.
We beat the offensive line to death, but, you know, they seem to do okay today.
Yeah, you know, they're coming out strong every day. For how shallow they are, you know, they're really just working their tails off. And, you know, they're big, they're strong. I mean, they're young and a little bit inexperienced, but they've got some leaders there. I mean, there's not a second they've wasted so far this spring, and expect that to continue.
Yeah. The freshmen are all, I mean, when you look at Tafai and Jaquette and Fa'asolo.
Yeah.
Those are three big dudes, but they're going to get bigger, and they're still just
need to get bigger.
They're built the right way. Yeah, you were saying that about Fa'asolo.
You take a look at the frames, And when we talked, you know, to some of the coaches before, you know, what they've said is they want to recruit guys. You know, and everything, we know everything's about the NFL, but they're looking for guys who are built like they could be NFL players, you know, have that build. So when you take a look at those three guys, so, you know, keep an eye on the transfer portal. We're still expecting another 3 to 4 guys out of the portal.
So. Yeah, no, they're definitely going to get guys, offensive linemen from the portal. I'm sure they're identifying them on a daily basis. It was a bit of a scare. Tafai went down on, I think, one of the field goal attempts.
I think Jake Jennings got him.
Yeah, but it looked like he was walking around at the end, so I think they kind of avoided one there. But, yeah, I think one of there's two real bright spots with the offensive line today. Not only were they able to get some success in the run game when during the live periods and such, but it was great to see guard Memelar out there in full pads running around a little bit. He's getting more back into the action. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think the snapping has just improved leaps and bounds from where it started the first couple practices.
That's something I didn't even notice. That's like one of those things you don't notice. It's a good job. If you don't talk about it, offensive line had a good day. Like I didn't notice it
like
too
if
much.
If you had not been to a practice before, Jack, and you had been paying attention to kind of some of the stuff that we'd been writing, you were probably like, I hope that they get the ball back to the quarterbacks.
Day one was 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
They had guard Memelar even doing some snaps. And he can actually sling the ball back there.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You've got Titi Ali'i coming in, D'Angelo from Portland State. So you've got him. You've got Landon Hatchett coming back. And then, you know, Memelar can be a center if you need him to be a center. And then you've got Henning. You got Parker Cross. And you've also got Michael Watkins, who are the other true freshman. So now all of a sudden you've got a ton of guys that are capable of snapping. Doesn't mean that they've got a bunch of ready-made guys there. They're far from it. But at least they're starting to build together a group that I think at least, you know, 4 or 5 months from now, you can start to depend on that group a little bit.
From what we saw yesterday and then today, I think they ramped it up a little bit more with contact and expecting more scrimmaging on Saturday.
Really would hope so. In fact, to be honest with you, I was dead set. I thought today was going to be more shells and shorts, more kind of prepping for Saturday. But they proved me wrong. I mean, they came out in full pads, got after it a little bit. I was happy to love to see it because obviously anytime we get to see some live reps, we have something we can report on and talk about and give the fans something to kind of get excited about. So that was really good. But, yeah, I would think hopefully – I mean, I think Jed Fish said they had 104 plays in their last scrimmage on Saturday. It'd be nice if they did 104 more plays on Saturday, but we'll see.
Anything we're missing before I talk a little basketball?
Not that I can think of. Like I said, there was some things. Harlan, I think you have some?
Yeah, you can see they're starting to get a little bit more hitting in. They're starting to get ready for Dogs After Dark. I mean, Coach Fish did say they've sold however many tickets up in the 37,000 range. You can sniff
31.
You can sniff at that however you want, but the excitement's palpable. I mean, this is a team that went to the national championship last year, so hopefully we'll get some good fan turnout for that.
Jack, how many free tickets did you order?
Two does it? No, I'm kidding. I got three. We're going on a mere three. That's something I do wonder with that, though. Like 37, or they're at like 38,000, but how many people ordered 12, but only like two of the group?
Scalpers got in early, hoping to make a buck.
So, on the free ticket.
On a free ticket.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, if 37,000 people come to Friday night's spring game,
you'll buy me a steak dinner?
No, I will give Jed Fish all the props in the world. He is the man if that happens, because that's never happened before. And he knows it's never happened before. That's why he's setting the goal
so high,
oversized. Because he, you know, he says, we've heard that maybe they only have like 15, 20,000. We're going to double that. And that's a great goal to have. Just color me very skeptical. Having done so many spring games over my time here, I mean, I've seen spring games, Kim, you know it. I've seen spring games here where it's been absolutely gorgeous out, and because it's been gorgeous out, like 2,000 people show up.
Like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, like last year.
Yeah, national championship team.
National championship team, and there was no one there.
That's where they showed on Twitter the difference between the spring game last year with the Boar and then the spring game they had at Alabama this year with like 60,000 people.
How'd that work out for them?
Have no idea.
Yeah. It's just, the worst one was the one where Tyrone shut down the entire spring practice. Yeah, remember that one? But
no,
I've been trying to
forget that ever since.
Yeah, but anyways, just a couple notes on basketball. Just about a week and a half ago, Danny Sprinkle got his first commit out of the portal, and Makai Mason out of Rice. He's a 6'5" guard out of where is he out of? I believe he is out of Moreno Valley, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's the new kid.
Oh, the new kid. Yeah, or he's out of Gilbert, Arizona.
Maybe. Yeah, I think you're actually right.
Yeah, Gilbert, Arizona. And he was a really good player for Rice. Yesterday it was announced that Jace Butler, who was he's a high school kid, you know, top 100 player. He'd committed to Illinois and got released from his letter of intent. And he committed yesterday. And then today.
He's from back east, right?
No, he's from California.
Is he California kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then today, DJ Davis out of Butler, who averaged 13.5 points a game, and he's actually put his name in for the NBA draft. I'm expecting him to take that out, but he's a 6'1 guard out of Moreno Valley as well, and so they've gotten three guards out of the portal, and expecting some more guys in this weekend, and when we confirm that up, we'll go ahead and report that. But Danny Sprinkle is hitting the portal hard.
Yeah, so Davis played this last year at Butler, and then the year before that, he was All Big West at UC Irvine. I think he averaged 15 points a game.
He can stroke it. He's about a 40% three-point shooter. Yeah,
he was 95% free-throw shooter.
In conference play, in Big East conference play, he shot 37 of 38 from the line.
No, I saw the stripe. 57 of 58.
Oh, 57, that's even better. Yeah, 57 to 58, which is crazy.
You don't
want to
ask
crazy.
Him if he remembers the miss.
No, well, of course he does. All great shooters remember their misses more than their makes.
But you pair him up with like Davon Smith, for example, from Utah. I think that's a one heck of a backcourt there. A guy who can stroke it from three, play some good defense, confident, and then you get an athletic kind of push the pace guard who can facilitate. That's one heck of a backcourt.
Well, one of the reasons I think Davis wasn't shooting as well from three, at least from people that were talking about it, watching his highlights and stuff, it sounds like he was chucking half of them from like 30 feet.
Yeah, his range is ridiculous.
It sounds like him and Caitlin Clark sometimes could have a shooting contest from like distance.
Yeah. So just expecting a couple more visitors. I think you're going to see some news on bigs here shortly. So we'll see, but price of players in the portal for basketball, yeah, it's kind of going up a little bit. So we'll see if it settles back down. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Jack McCauley, good to have you back. Wrap it up.
Let's go. Yeah. No, definitely great to be back. First practice of the year. I think my biggest thought was the true freshman class. I thought it's one of the more impressive true freshman classes I've seen in a spring practice for sure, especially the early enroll. I mean, they're all early enrollees, I guess. But DeMond Williams just lives up to the bill. Audric Harris, I thought, had a phenomenal practice. Jason Robinson, Peyton, I mean, you can, Adam Muhammad, you can go down the list. I felt like all of them seem a lot more mature than a freshman. I think that's the right word. It looks like they've been doing it for a lot longer than just a day.
Chris Fetters, wrap it up.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what Jack just said is 100% on, and it's been kind of that way since the beginning of spring. I just say flat out, I was really pleased that they went full pads today. Gave us something to write about, see a little live tackling, see a little situational stuff, third and fourth down. I think the offense got a couple licks in. Defense definitely got their licks in, especially at the very end with the kind of team fumble recovery. And their energy was palpable, as Harlan was saying. I mean, they just – I think overall getting inside like that and kind of getting more confined and having those guys go through that, I think is something that – I wouldn't be surprised if Fish uses more of that as they go forward, because he talked a little bit in the very, very beginning of spring how he kind of liked to use the indoor a little bit more, especially in the passing stuff. But now he might be seeing some benefits in terms of the energy and the enthusiasm that those guys have when they go inside. So, you know, we might see more of that as we go through.
Harlan Grady, wrap it up. You're taking over for Scott Eklund today, by the way. You had to vamoose.
Yeah, big shoes to fill, huh? Well, yeah. It's been super exciting getting to work with you guys and be here. The number one thing for me is you got to remember who this team was last year. It's easy to forget so many new faces, so many new names, but this is a great program. They're going to be great this year. They were great last year. You know, it's going to be a big step for them. New conference, but you know, they're ready to take that step. This is a staff that's preparing these guys for the next level. This is a team of guys that's going to believe in what they're being taught, and it's really fun to watch. So I'm excited.
11 practices down. We've got practice again on Saturday, and then Monday, Wednesday's practice is closed to the media, and then the spring event on Friday night. So it seems like it's been dragging a little bit, but then it seems like it's going by fast. So it's a little bit of both. But
literally only two practices before spring game for us, which is kind of crazy to think about now.
No, mm-hmm. It's just wild. I mean, just with everything that's going on with NIL and the portal, it just. You know, we are used to having some time off at some point during the year, and we've talked about this before. I mean, since about, you know, the 20th of July, it's been nonstop. I mean, it's just – there hasn't been a breather. You know, you got a breather for a couple of days. I got a breather for a couple of days. Scott got a breather for a couple of days. But, you know, typically we get some time off in June and July, and, boy, I don't know if that's going to happen. So – we'll see.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because I got media day in Indianapolis, what, July 20-something, or, you know, early in the 20s. So.
23rd, I believe, is when it's 23rd, 24th, 25th, maybe.
Yeah.
So I plan on being there.
Yeah. So anyways, for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetters, former intern Jack McCauley, and my target – is the new intern, Harlan Grady. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.